Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 49 degrees in fog and mist. Today is Thursday, October 4th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. The 100th anniversary Grand Camp Convention of the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood opened in Sitka yesterday. Hundreds of delegates from around Southeast were in attendance. Grand President Dennis Demert of Kluwak tried to iron out a few agenda issues at first, but delegates insisted on singing Onward Christian Soldiers, a Grand Camp tradition, before moving on to any business. Following introductions and welcoming remarks from Sitka ANB, ANS officers and local government officials, the camp began its speaker's agenda. Chris McNeil, the president and CEO of Sea Alaska, used his time at the podium to remind delegates of the power of the Native vote. He said redistricting had left Southeast two Native legislators, Representative Bill Thomas and Senator Albert Kukesh, vulnerable, despite the protections of the Voting Rights Act of 1965.
What is needed now is for our Native leaders to explore other ways to be able to assert our voting rights. With the enactment of ANCSA 40 years ago, we knew that the formation of Native corporations with economic power would help us politically. Sea Alaska will continue to participate in the public policy process, but in the end, it all comes down to the vote.
McNeil directed the delegates to registrars present from the National Congress of American Indians, who, along with the Tlingit and Haida Central Council and SEARCH, were cooperating on a nonpartisan voter registration drive. He said registering Native voters was consistent with the traditions of the ANB-ANS.
So we're reminding our people that every vote counts. Your vote is our power. That, together with the Alaska Natives who are eligible to vote, represent almost 17% of the Alaska of the state population. And we know that every vote makes a difference.
McNeil cited several legislative races that had been decided by just a few votes and Senator Lisa Murkowski's historic 2010 write-in victory. And finally, the Grand Camp delegates motioned to establish Walter Soboloff Day in honor of the Tlingit leader and pastor who died in Juneau last year at the age of 102. Grand President Dennis Demert said the holiday would be a natural counterpart to Elizabeth Pradovich Day. ANS Grand President Mary Brown itemized Soboloff's many accomplishments, everything from paving the way for the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act to organizing the gold medal basketball tournament. With Soboloff's children gathered behind her, Brown introduced the resolution.
That they shall observe November 14, the day of his birthday in 1908, as Walter Soboloff Day, and encourage all ANB and ANS camps to come together to revitalize cultural knowledge and to renew the ANB and ANS commitment to the Native cultural values that the life of Dr. Walter Soboloff exemplified.
The resolution carried by unanimous consent. The Centennial ANB-ANS Grand Camp Convention will continue through tomorrow night in Sitka. Absentee ballots from Tuesday's election will be counted in Sitka tomorrow. The third open assembly seat could be affected, but in Tenneke Springs, the election is still up in the air. Tenneke has two seats open on its council. Right now, the top two vote-getters are John Weisenbaugh with 30 and Don Pegues with 18. Stan Moberly has 10 votes. But in Tenneke, there are still 50, that's 5-0, absentee ballots to count. That's expected to happen early next week. Mary Almy served as Tenneke's election supervisor this year. She says there were more absentee ballots sent out than there were people who voted in person, and that it's still anybody's election to win. The city council in Tenneke will pick a mayor from among its membership during the next regular meeting, scheduled for October 25th. Right now, the mayor is Don Pegues. In Pelican, there are still 15 absentee and question ballots to count. Patty Phillips leads the city council race with 23 votes. Steve Young is in second with 22, and Mike Chapman has 21 votes. Karen Scudder, Cheryl Young, and Kyla Westcott appear to be leading for the three school board seats there. But again, there are still 15 absentee and question ballots to count on Friday. In Cake, incumbent Henrich Kadaik has a handy lead for mayor with 98 votes to Delbert Kadaik's 36. The two are distant relatives. Paulette Jackson and Lloyd Davis lead for city council. And for school board, Adam Davis and Isabel Mills appear to be the winners. Cake has 19 questioned and absentee ballots to count. That will happen today. In Angoon, Jess Daniels has unseated Mayor Albert Howard on the city council. The council will select a new mayor from among its membership. Also elected to the council are Randy Gamble and Matthew Kukesh Jr., who won as a write-in candidate against Pauline Jim. The Angoon results are unofficial until certification, which is scheduled for Friday. You can see numbers from these communities. They're all posted on our website, kcaw.org. Elections also were held in Southeast's other large communities on Tuesday. Here's a brief look at how candidates and issues fared in Juneau, Petersburg, Haines, and Skagway, where voters put an 18-year-old on the school board.
The capital city is getting a new mayor, while a bond proposition for local projects appears to be failing. I'm Matt Miller in Juneau, where in the mayor's race, former firefighter and former assembly member Merrill Sanford maintains an edge over Cheryl Geeby, the former head of the local chapter of the League of Women Voters. Sanford campaigned on fostering a pro-economic business climate.
We want people to come here, and we want people to open stores here, no matter what the store is. And we want jobs here.
GB jumped into the race almost at the last minute and said she wanted to bring new energy to Juneau.
It took me a while to get going, yes. If I had another month, I think the numbers would be different. I would have had more time to talk to individual people.
Sanford will likely replace Bruce Botello, who is just finishing three consecutive terms as mayor and could not run again this year because of term limits. Juneau voters also elected assembly members and members of the local school board. A measure extending a temporary 1% sales tax for 5 years to fund a variety of deferred maintenance and capital improvement projects passed, but a $25 million bond issue for another package of projects may be defeated by a narrow margin. At least one assembly candidate expressed reluctance to issue bonds to fund deferred maintenance. If the bond issue does pass, then a portion of the revenues from the temporary sales tax would help fund the bond's debt service and mitigate some of the burden on property taxpayers. Unofficial voter turnout in Juneau was just over 25%, with over 1,400 absentee and question ballots still to be counted. Those returns could change the final results for the bond issue and the mayor's race. The final ballot count is Friday, with the results likely certified on Tuesday. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
I'm Joe Vicnicki in Petersburg, where only three ballot questions and one contested race made for a relatively quiet local election. Petersburg voters Tuesday said no to the purchase of waterfront industrial land in Scow Bay, south of downtown. That vote was nearly 2-1 against the purchase and funding plan for the property that was proposed for use by the Harbor Department. In unofficial results, 515 people voted no. That's to 274 yes votes for the Scow Bay purchase. The asking price for the more than 5 acres is $1.4 million. The city had proposed paying for the purchase with a mix of funding sources, including a hike in harbor rates. The privately owned land and a dock was to be used for loading and unloading fishing vessels and gear storage. Another ballot question on increasing the city's sales tax cap from $1,200 up to $1,700 could still go either way. The unofficial tally has that question failing by only 2 votes. The city council still has 10 question ballots to tally on Friday, so the final numbers and result could change. City officials proposed that change as a way to bring in more money to the city and free up raw fish tax revenue for the Harbor Department. It wasn't a close call on withdrawing from the Inner Island Ferry Authority, however. The vote was more than 4-1 to end Petersburg's involvement in the IFA. That authority offers a ferry connection between Hollis and Ketchikan, but discontinued its service between Kaufman Cove, Wrangell, and the southern end of Mitkoff Island back in 2008 due to low passenger numbers. The only contested race was for 2 seats on the Harbor Board, and 2 incumbents, Bob Martin and Kurt Wallhuter, will return to serve on that advisory board. The turnout was right around 33% in Petersburg. I'm Joe Vicnicki.
This is Margaret Friedenauer with KHNS in Haines. Haines voters decided Tuesday that local public officials will be exempt from state financial disclosure laws. It's the third time Haines voters have been asked to weigh in on the issue, and this time it passed. Local financial disclosure laws recently revised by the Borough Assembly will go into effect instead. The Assembly, Mayor, School Board, and Planning Commission campaigned for the passage of Proposition 1, saying local control of financial disclosure laws was preferable. They said the less stringent local laws will likely help encourage more residents to run for public office. Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman was re-elected to her second term on the Haines Assembly. She was challenged by local real estate broker James Studley. And Chilkoot Indian Association Tribal Administrator Dave Barry Jr. was elected over resident Jonathan Green to the second open seat. Barry previously served as Haines City Councilman for 13 years and as mayor of the city of Haines before the city and borough consolidated in 2002. Local high school senior Royal Henderson was elected to the Haines School Board. The 18-year-old ran for the one-year term since he'll be graduating next year. Sarah Chapel and incumbent Brenda Jones received enough percentage of the vote to win their uncontested races as well. A fourth seat remains open, and the school board will have to appoint someone to that seat. In Skagway, David Hunts lost re-election to the Skagway Assembly. He served on the Assembly for 15 years. Instead, voters elected Steve Burnham Jr. and Gary Hansen to the two open Assembly seats. Stuart Brown and John Hisher joined the Skagway School Board, winning their uncontested races. While absentee and question ballots remain to be counted in both communities, election officials said there aren't enough ballots to change the results in any of the races. Reporting in Haines, I'm Margaret Friedenauer.
The day Alaskans highly anticipate has arrived with the distribution of dividend checks from the state's oil savings account. This year's $878 dividend from the Alaska Permanent Fund will be direct deposited into bank accounts of eligible residents who chose that route. Others will get their dividend checks mailed today. To qualify for the dividends awarded to Alaskans just for living here, residents must live in the state for a full calendar year. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.